Good morning. Today's daf in Chulin is daf test. We start today on Chesamad Beis. We are in the bottom of the Amud. Some more halachas regarding Shechita this morning. Some other standard things that a Talmid Chacham should know. Coming up with the course of this morning, Gemara is going to give us a list of things that a Talmid Chacham worth his weight in anything should be familiar with. And you'll see a little bit later on whether or not any one of your local Talmid Chachamim are good in terms of knowing what the requisite amount. And then we're going to start a Gemara today as we get to the Amud Beis of today's daf, where we're going to be discussing some of the more basic issues regarding halacha. When it's something Isser versus Sakana. So where should we be more machmir? Should we be more machmir by Isser, or should we be more machmir by Sakana? And that'll bring us into tomorrow's daf, where tomorrow's daf really starts the ball rolling in terms of basic klalios, in terms of rov and chazaka, and the upcoming gemaras today, tomorrow, Sunday's daf, some basic gemaras regarding some of the most basic klalios of shas, rov, and chazaka. Okay, let's get underway. On the bottom of Chesamad Beis, we are starting. We're starting today. We ended off yesterday by saying over the halachas that a shochet needs three knives: one to do the act of shechita, one to cut up the meat, and the other one to cut up the chalev. And we want to make sure the shochet knife, that for sure is going to be kept separate, as Rashi pointed out, because the concern would be that the knife may get a pagam in it. We certainly don't want it to have a pagam, so therefore the knife is going to be used exclusively for shechita. And what about the other two knives, one for cutting meat, the other one cutting chalev? So as we pointed out yesterday, so the reason is because we don't want him to use the chalev knife, the knife that he used for chalev to cut the meat, because what's going to end up happening is he's going to be transferring the chalev onto the meat, and the chalev obviously is usser. Amar Amemesh made the Rav Papa the Gemara continues, lo lischif inish kafle ilave bisre. So the Gemara over here is talking about with the flanken, the size of the meat. And the size of the meat is now going to have a little bit of chalev running alongside of it. When we get into the next perek, into the third perek, so we're going to be discussing with detail the anatomy, the bovine anatomy, and talking about where exactly you could find the chalev inside the animals. And so chalev that's found inside the animals, so usually it's encased. In other words, a membrane actually goes in and encases the chalev. And so these are some of the harder fats of the animal. So the Gemara over here says that a concern may in fact be that if I take the flanken, which has chalev running alongside of it, and I put it on top of another piece of meat, so what's going to happen is that the fat's going to drip from the flanken, again, not from the flanken itself, not from the muscle of the flanken, but from the chalev that is connected to the flanken, and it's going to drip on top of the other meat. Ubala bisra, yachi, so ki teritza nami, dive tarba ubala bisra. So the Gemara says, well, that's not necessary. Gemara says, if that's true, so the flanken themselves. Right. If you have the chalev that's connected to the flanken, so why aren't we worried about the flanken itself? So the Gemara says, no, I'm not worried about that. Karma mafsik mitasai. So the Gemara says, because the chalev happens to be encased in a membrane, and so I'm therefore not going to be worried that the chalev is going to start dripping on the flanken itself, because that's the nature of chalev, is that generally speaking, it's encased.
Membrane is only on the bottom.
So the Gemara now clarifies that point. Ihachi mi lainami karma ika. The Gemara says now it's fully encased in membrane, both on the bottom and on the top. So as much as we weren't worried about the flanken on the bottom, so we shouldn't be worried about the top as well. To which the Gemara says, no, I did the memashmasha yada de tavcha mivchas. So the Gemara says that's not. It's true, but says the Gemara, what we have to be concerned with is the following. Look, after you cut up the flanken and take them out of the animal, so you're going to be handling it. And so you're going to be handling it with the chalev side up. So you're going to be handling the side of the chalev that's side up, meaning to say that your fingers are going to be running along the membrane and rubbing out some of the membrane. And so therefore, if I take the flanken with the chalev and I put it on top of another piece of meat, because the external exposed side of the chalev has been handled and manipulated, and so perhaps some of the membrane got rubbed out, that chalev is going to go and fall on top of another piece of meat, and that's why there it's going to be concerned. The chalev that is connected to the actual flanken themselves, that in fact is encased in a membrane, not handled by you and I. So therefore, we can assume that that chilev is not going to be dripping onto the meat.
Can't you just wash it off like the knife? No, with the knife, you say you can't wash it off.
It's cold. It's for sure cold. That's correct. Tamachachim has to be familiar how to do at least three things. In other words, again, like I said in the beginning of Shir today, it's like basic prerequisites to being a Tamachachim. So you have to be familiar with three particular skills. Number one is ksav. You have to know how to write. Now, it's so interesting over here. In other words, what are we talking about? We're talking about basic legibility and penmanship. So I'll make it even more interesting. Rashi over here writes, Ksav, lichtov shiyada lichtov shmo. You have to know how to sign your name, says Rashi. Because ilu yasha bedinolei, is because you may be sitting on the court, or you may be a witness, and you're going to have to sign. So you have to know how to sign your name. So obviously it's interesting, and I'm going to ask the obvious question, meaning this is a basic prerequisite to a Talmid Chacham, the ability to sign your name. The ability to sign your name is really, really basic. It's not something specific to a Talmid Chacham. It's difficult to understand the Rashi, admittedly.
I mean, if the guy knows how to learn, shouldn't he know how to sign his name?
Yeah, agreed. So the Rashi is interesting, and Rashi is difficult. I don't know. You know, I don't know what to do with the Rashi. How to understand the Rashi? Okay, fine. The other two, I think, is kind of self-evident. Shechita and Mila. Okay, so if you're a self-respecting Talmid Chacham, so you have to know how to shecht, and you have to know how to do the mitzvah of Mila. So both of these, obviously, and this is outside of the world of scholarship. Meaning, okay, good. So you're a Talmid Chacham who is fluent in saying over Gemara's Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. That's wonderful. But on top of that, there has to be a certain amount of skill that you have. And the Gemara says there has to be both Shechita and Mila. So right now I'm 1 for 3 right now. I know how to sign my own name. That's where I stand right now on the depth chart of Talmid Chacham. Yeah. So the Rashi, again, I turn back to the Rashi. Rashi says, by Shechita la'amein yado lekach, afilu shebaki b'chaseho. Rashi says very clearly that he has to, it's the ability, it's the dexterity to do the actual Shechita, and it's not just limited to knowing the Hachu Shechita. And Mila, I assume it's the same thing, but there's no Rashi on Mila. So for purpose of full disclosure. Okay. Rav Chanina bar Shamaya Mishmei de Rava Amar Av Kesher Shol Tefillin Ubirchas Chasanim V'Tzitzis. Now the Gemara quotes another memra of Rav, different Amora quoting Rav, but another memra of Rav, which is that you have to know how to not tefillin and you have to know how to say Birchas Chasanim. Now again, it could just simply be the recitation of the bracha, but again, I think you'd agree that that's pretty basic. And it can't be that's the benchmark for a Talmid Chacham. It could be by Birchas Chasanim. The Gemara means to be Mesader Kedushin. And the whole Seder Kedushin. Could be that that's what the Gemara means. And also Tzitzis and how to not Tzitzis as well. Really interesting, if you take a look at the top Tosis over here, a debate that happens throughout throughout Shas between Rabbi Natam and one of the other Baalei Tosos. The Gemara over here talks about nodding Tefillin. Is there a requirement to not Tefillin every single day? Right, the Torah says ukshatam leosal yadecha, so you have to be kosher, you have to tie them. And does that mean that the tefillin have to be tied and untied every single day? So some of the Baalei Tosfos say, yeah, that's correct. The tefillin has to be tied and untied every single day. Tosfos quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Okay, but Rabbeinu Tam doesn't agree. Rabbeinu Tam says that there's no requirement to tie and untie it every day. Well, obviously, we follow the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Our Gemara, I don't know, you can make an argument either way. Tosos, take a look at the top Tosos over here where our Gemara may weigh into this discussion of whether or not there's a mitzvah to tie and untie the tefillin every single day. V'idach, now, in the first member of Rav, so these were not included. Tefillin, tzitzis, birchas chasanim are not included. How come the first member of Rav didn't include them? So Hanishchichin, so the Gemara says, because these are things that are so common and so frequent. If you take a look at the Rashi on Hanishchichin, Rashi writes, Tefillin mitzitzis b'birchas chasanim mitzuyin tadir. It happens all the time. Which, by the way, in the machlokas between Rabbeinu Eliyahu and Rabbeinu Tam, so when the Gemara talks about its frequency, certainly get the impression that, what does that mean, frequency? Meaning I put on tefillin every day, but I tie tefillin every day? So maybe, meaning, sounds a little bit like Rabbeinu Eliyahu. But anyway, so the Ubirchas Chasanim Mitzuyin Tadir. Hilkach HaKol Bikin Behem, everyone is a buck in these items. Vein Tzrichim Limud She Me'atzmo Yeh Baki Behem. In other words, the assumption is that people are going to know how to do them because they happen all the time, they're so frequent. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Back to the Gemara. More halachas. Kol tabach shein yodeh chushchita aso lachom chushchita aso. Ve'elo hein chushchita shihadrasa chalada hagrama v'ikor. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel that a tabach who does not know the laws of shchita, so you are prohibited from eating his shchita. So that means to say that even if he tells you I did everything good, but he doesn't know the hilchos shchita, so he doesn't know what he's saying. You're right. How could he say I did everything good when you don't know what everything good means? Omer al gabav presumably would be okay, right? We said that earlier regarding the katan, right? Katan omer al gabav is fine. So certainly an unknowledgeable adult can't be any worse. So and the laws of shchita are. And so let's go through them. This is the first time the Gemara formally introduces, rolls out the halachas of shchita, the psulei shchita. There are five of them. Obviously, they're all halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, right? The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Shchita, in the first perek. I think halacha dalet, but anyway. So the Rambam over there writes that all these halachas are obviously halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, meaning there's no indication in the Torah itself about the mitzvah of shchita, or certainly the details of the halachas of shchita, but anyway. So they are. So if we could just quickly introduce each one of them. So number one is shihiyah. Shihiyah means that while you're slicing through the neck of the animal, so you take a pause, you take a break, right? It's a really poor choice, a poor time to have a coffee break. But you're right in the middle of the shechita and you pause. So that's what's called shihiyah. So how long of a shihiyah do we need in order to pass the animal? Actually, that's coming up in today's daf. We're gonna see that just in a little bit from now. Hadrasa. The second of the psulei shechita is that the correct shechita is to go in a slicing motion back and forth. Incorrect is to go in a chopping motion and to push the knife forward. So that is what's called hadrasa. Number three is chalada. Chalada from the word chulda. Actually, chulda comes up like a big theme in today's daf. So over here, what does that mean? You weasel the knife. So what that means to say is as follows. You take the knife and you put it into the neck and now the knife is covered. And just like a weasel, cover goes into the ground and digs himself in the ground, so you're digging the knife into the neck. Now that means to say is as follows, meaning you don't even cut the simanim yet. In other words, but before the simanim are cut, so the knife now goes into the neck, and then you cut in the opposite direction now. But that in itself is fine, meaning cutting in the wrong direction. The problem now is that the knife is covered. The knife cannot be covered. That's chalada. Hagrama. Hagrama is where you go too far above or too far below the makam hashchita. The makam hashchita is the trachea and the esophagus. And we'll see regarding the trachea, we will speak anatomically, very specifically about the parameters of the trachea, what's too high and what's too low. So in terms of that, it's coming up later in the Masechta, but if you go too high or too low, so that is a psul of hagrama. And finally, ikor. Ikor is where you dislocate either the trachea or the esophagus before you shecht the pipe. So in other words, you cut the pipes correctly, but they were dislocated out of its location. So that is the psul of ikor. These are the five psul ishchita, and if a Talmid Chacham is not familiar with the five psul ishchita, so then he cannot shecht. And if in fact he does shecht, you cannot eat from ishchita, it's aser. So my kamashmalan kulutanine. So the Gemara says, okay, that's wonderful. What do I need in Amora to tell me these halachas? These are all halachas that are found in Mishnayos. So over here, even though Rav Yehuda Mishmuel does a great job culling everything together and organizing everything together, but these are the basic Hilchos Shechita that we know based on Mishnayos, and so what do I need an Amora for to put them all together? And if you want to know which Mishnayos to find them in, so you can look at Rashi over here. Rashi actually takes us through the next Dapim of the Gemara, right? Lamed Amid Beis, Lamed Beis, Daf Yud Ches. Anyway, go through the Rashis, you'll see exactly where to find all these psulim in the Mishnayos. But anyway, they're all there. I guess for now I'd say trust me. But you don't have to. You can look at Rashi. So anyway, but they're all there. So lo tzicha sheshach lefaneinu beiz v'gim apanim v'shach ha-shapir. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what Rav Yehuda Mishmuel is doing. He's teaching us another halacha, and that's the following. Let's say that there was an omen al-gab if someone was watching him shach, which as we pointed out would be fine. And they saw two, three times, and he's perfect, and he does it flawlessly. So now, so the Gemara says, look, he did it so beautifully in front of us, so now, why can't he do it on his own? Meaning, so good, so we've seen him do it, so let him do it on his own. And the answer, says the Gemara, is no. Because his lack of knowledge will lead to problems that he doesn't even understand are problems. In other words, let's say the next time he shechts on his own, without supervision, so he pauses in the middle of the shechita, not even understanding that that's one of the psulei shechita. That means that the shechita is no longer a good shechita. The animal's still an avela. So he doesn't understand that. He doesn't know that. And so because of his lack of knowledge, so therefore the shechita is a pasul shechita, and he doesn't even know it. So with the chiddush of Yehuda Mashmul is that even if we saw him shecht, and he looks great at shechita, but his lack of knowledge, however, means that he simply cannot shecht if no one's supervising.
Didn't he have to learn the laws before he started?
I mean, he should have, but in other words, but he, let's say he didn't, and still we're watching him shecht, and he's doing a great job. Okay, I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. Hatabach sar sheyivdok b'simanim la'achar shechita. There is a requirement that you have to check the simanim after you shecht to make sure that the simanim were shechted properly. And over here, just very basic information, how much of the simanim do you have to shecht? So we're going to see it in the Mishnah upcoming, but the halach is rov, that you have to cut by an animal both of the pipes, both the trachea and the esophagus, and you have to cut the majority of the circumference of both of them. And as we'll learn, I'm not sure if the Gemara says it clearly, but certainly it's the halacha. It's the interior circumference, not the exterior circumference. But anyway, in any regard, I think it's coming up in the Gemara. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You have to cut the majority, and so therefore, what you have to do is you have to check forensically and see that you cut the majority of both of the pipes. I'm Rav Yosef Afanami Tanino. It's the Mishnah we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Amar Imshah Kedei Bikur. Now, what we're going to do is that we're going to learn a Mishnah that's coming up later in the Masechta about Shehiya. But what we're really going to do is we're going to tease out the halacha that you should check the simanim. Now, the Mishnah later on is talking about Shehiya, and the amount of time that a person would pause would render the Shechita not a good Shechita. And notably, the Mishnah says, Shaha Kedei Bikur. If I pause in the middle of the Shechita, the amount of time that it takes to make the examination, so then the Shechita is no good. So now we're talking about an examination. What examination? Now the Mishnah is not clear, so the Gemara now is going to speculate. So my love Kedei Bikur Simanim. So presumably what we're talking about is the inspection, the examination of the pipes. L'chora, that's what we're talking about. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily, Amar le'Abaye, lo. Hacham Rav Yochanan Kedei Bikur Chacham. No, we're not talking about the examination of the pipes, we're talking about the examination of the knife. Examination of the knife, what does that mean? So as Rashi over here points out, there is a requirement that before you shecht, you take your knife to the local Talmud Chacham of the community, the Rav of the community. The way Rashi presents it, it sounds like this is an issue that is a function of Kavod HaRav. Meaning we have to show cover to our Rabbanim. And so you have a Rav in the community. And so before you shecht, the Shochet goes. The Shochet certainly knows how to check the knife himself. I'd venture a guess that that's something that's very basic to the Shochet, how to check a knife. But in other words, that's a function of cover to Rav. So you take the knife over to the Rav and you show it to him. And what the Gemara now is proposing is that is the Bedika that we're talking about. And so that means to say that if you're Shochet, if you delay, if you pause in the middle, the amount of time that it takes you to go, take your knife over to the Rav in order to check it, so then the Shechita is going to be a Pasul Shechita. Now, if you think about it, just meaning before we get to the Gemara's point, which is, you know, obviously where we want to go, but before we get to that point, you think about it, that's a long pause. Meaning, let's say you live a block away from the Rav. So you pick yourself up, you walk over to the Rav, he now looks at the knife, you're going to come back. In terms of time and Shehiya, we're talking about long pause. On top of that, the Gemara makes a fundamental point. It can't be. Because over here, we're talking about a psul Shehiya, and we want to give a fixed time, not a variable time. If we're talking about the amount of time it takes you to go see your rabbi, some people live next door, some people live a block away, and some people have to walk halfway across town in order to get to the rabbi. So if we're talking about that as serving as a measurement of time, well, that's a very poor measurement of time. That's a variable. It's not fixed. So the Gemara says, you're right. So it can be that that's what Bikur is talking about. So Alakadei Bikur Tabachachem. So the Gemara says, it's the amount of time to check a knife if you're the Tabachachem. Meaning, let's say you're the Rav of the community and you also happen to be the Shochet. Okay, so you're a one-man show. So you're giving sermons on Shabbos. And on top of that, you're also the shochet, and you're the mawel, and you're okay, good. So you're doing everything. So now, you're who are you going to show it to as far as Kavod HaRav is concerned? Nobody. In other words, you're the Rav. So you show you, right? So when we're saying Kedei Bikur, what we mean by that is the time it takes to examine the knife. So in other words, to run your fingernail along the knife to make sure that your fingernail does not get caught at any point during the knife. So that is the fixed time that we're talking about. And I know that even as we say this, not every knife is the same, not the length of every knife is the same. Some knives are longer, some are shorter, but it's certainly more of a fixed time than what we were describing earlier, picking yourself up and going over to the over the Rav to have him check it. Anyway, doesn't necessarily mean, the whole point of the Gemara is, it does not necessarily mean we're talking about the Bedikas of Simanim. Meaning that, not that the Gemara is rejecting it, in other words, no, of course you have to still check the Simanim. What the Gemara simply means is that this Mishnah cannot serve as a definitive proof that you have to check the Simanim. Lo Badakmai, continuing now in the Gemara, we're halfway down in Tesamat Aleph, and the first words in the line is Biker Tabachacham, and now the Gemara continues, Lo Badakmai, now what if you didn't do the Bedika? If you didn't do the bedika, so you shech the animal, you didn't do the bedika, now what? So, what is essentially the Gemara asking? And that is assumptions and presumptions. What can we assume regarding the shechita if you shech the animal, you think you did a good job, but you didn't check, you didn't examine afterwards? So what do we say vis-a-vis assumptions? So Rabbi Elazar ben Antiknus Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yanai Omer Treifa Vasur Bachila and Bemasisa Tana Nevela Matame Bemasa. Okay. So let's start off like this. You can't eat the animal. That's clear. The only thing left for discussion right now is it just aser ba'achila, or do we say that the shechita was not good at all, and so therefore the animal is now a nevela, rendering tumah like a nevela would normally render tumah. The Gemara says, matame b'masa is just the standard way that a nevela gives off tumah. Right? If I could just quickly review, a sheretz gives off tumah b'maga. Only through contact. A nevela, the carcass of an animal, gives off tumah b'maga uvemasa, both touching and carrying. If you lift it up, if you pick it up, even without touching it, you're going to, that'll communicate tumah. The nevela is an avatumah, you're now a rishon. And a mace and human remains, so that's going to give off tumah b'maga uvemasa uveoha. Okay, good. So the very basics of tumah tahara. So the Gemara now is saying that if you shechted the animal without having checked the simanim, so you certainly the shechita is not yet good. But what we are saying now at that point in time is that, is it just that you can't eat it? Or do we say, no, it's a full-blown nevela? So B'maki Miflik, the Gemara says, okay, now what's that issue over here? Because obviously now there is a small degree difference between these two positions. And how do we understand it? So the Gemara says, B'deravuna da Amar, and so over here, the Gemara tells, and it says over in the name of Rav Huna, that we have two very powerful chazakas that we operate with when it comes to an animal. Let's go with chazaka number one. Chazaka number one is that an animal, while it's alive, is in a state of iser, which we totally understand. Meaning, while the animal is alive, so can I eat the animal? Of course not. The iser of the animal at this point in time is, now I'll say it over like Rashi, right? It's Sefer Menachai, meaning it's a living animal, living creature. For me to take a bite of a living creature, it's a violation of Sefer Menachai. If I rip off rip the limb off of a live animal, that's Sefer Menachai. Okay, so and so therefore, status quo of the animal while it's alive is in state of iser, notably Sefer Menachai. And so therefore, what's going to change that status quo? You have to know positively that you did a proper shechita. That's going to be chazaka number one. What's chazaka number two? Let's say you did a proper shechita. You did a proper shechita, so now there's a new presumption that's created, and that is that the animal's mutter. Could it not be that the animal's a treifa? Yeah, it certainly could be that the animal's a treifa. But in other words, but we're not going to assume that. We're going to presume that the animal's a healthy and viable animal, not a treifa, unless we know otherwise. Now, based on this, what we basically know is that when you shecht an animal, do you have to examine for all the trefas? And so the answer presumably is no. You don't have to check for any other trefas. Because once you know that you did a correct shechita, a proper shechita, so then we move into chazaka number two, which is the animal's not a trefa. Now, I'm sure as everybody here knows that we do check the lungs. The checking of the lungs is an old minug. It's been around for a very long time. So the lungs happen to be very sensitive and very prone to various strafe. So we do check the lungs, but there is no other part of the animal that we check. We don't do an examination. If there is a reyasa, if there is suspicion and reason to suspect that one of the internal organs has a trafe on it, so we'll do an examination. But otherwise, under normal circumstances, we won't do so. And it's based on the Gemara that we just learned together.
Why do we use chazaka and not rov for that? What's the difference? It's confusing.
It's a good question. So sometimes, we just talked about this yesterday, mm-hmm. Sometimes the rov can actually serve as the chazaka. Meaning when we... Well, let's put it this way. In other words, the basic definition of a chazaka is a presumed state, that is basically in a state of inertia. So, in other words, if I have a presumed state of something, so it remains in that state unless I know the situation has changed, right? We'll talk in tomorrow's daf, right? It happens to be that I measure the mikvah, and the mikvah is 40 saw. The mikvah is even more; it's 41 saw. Okay, good. Is that a kosher mikvah? Somebody goes into it now. Did he tell him a kosher mikvah? So I'll say yes. But I didn't measure when he went in. I only measured it yesterday. Okay, but in other words, we have a presumed state, and that presumed state's going to continue. So over here, when I have an animal that's alive, so it's the presumed state of Isser. It's more. It's funny. It's more than just even a presumed state of Isser, meaning it is Usser. It's not even a presumed state. So it is Usser, and until something changes that status, it remains in that presumed state. So if I shecht it, but the shechita was questionable, or I didn't do a bedika, so then it remains in that presumed state until I know definitively that it changes. In terms of a trefa, an animal not being a trefa, so here's where you get to your question, which your question is really good. Meaning an animal not being a trefa, how do we know? In other words, we didn't subject the animal to an MRI, a CAT scan, a PET scan. So here... it's based on statistic probability. So this is what you were touching on. So that is not something which it's a presumed state based on the general propensity that animals are healthy animals. Okay. And yes, in other words,
That's the rule.
Good. But what the Gemara is using, and this is what Danny's bothered by, the Gemara is using terminology of chazaka. Mm-hmm. It's creating a presumed state. The rove is creating a chazaka. And I'd say to you, okay, that's fine. In other words, the rov is creating a chazaka. Happens to be, I know a little bit more on the topic. We just, you know, we touched on it yesterday. Okay, but anyway, so velema. Okay, sorry. Let's go back to the Gemara. Apagav di yisrael be'riusa, I'm sorry. Nishchata becheskas hutra, omer zashivad l'chabama nishchafa. Now, velema nishchata hutra. Now, the Gemara says, okay, look, what we just learned is fantastic. Meaning, really, so to stick. It's such basic information. But just the wording of the Gemara, why don't we just simply say that when you shecht it, becomes mutter? In other words, that's not what Rav Huna says. Rav Huna says is when you shecht it, it's bechezkas heter. It's in a state of heter. What does that mean, state of heter? It's mutter. Just simply say it. It's mutter. So, ha'kamash malanda, afagav di yisiala be'riusa, ki dabai mine rabbi abba me Rav Huna, baz ze'ev, v'natal b'nei me'ayim mahu. So, yeah, it's so funny. I knew I skipped. Thank you so much. Okay, fine. It was really gnawing at me. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, let's go back because I skipped. Okay, good. Mar saver becheskas iser kaime v'hashta mesehi umar saver becheskas iser aminan becheskas tumalo aminan. And now to explain the two opinions. Okay. In other words, again, you shechted the animal. You didn't do bedikas samanim. You didn't check the samanim. So now what? So you can't eat the animal. That's clear. The two opinions are either it's just simply a trefa, meaning we're using the word trefa over here loosely. It just simply means you can't eat it. It's asar ba'achila. Or it's a full-blown nevela, meaning because it started off as a cheskas live animal. I didn't give it a proper shechita, meaning I didn't check the simanim, which means I didn't give it a proper shechita, and so therefore it remains a nevela. And the Gemara explains as follows. Look. The position that says that it is a nevela, I'd say, you can argue, but I'd say that's the easier position to explain. Because look, the animal was a live animal. and now it's no longer alive. And so, generally speaking, without a shechita, what does that mean? It means it's a nevela. Anytime that an animal dies without the benefit of a shechita, the animal's a nevela. I did a shechita, but I didn't check the simanim. It basically means I didn't do a shechita. So if I didn't do a shechita, the animal now is a nevela and fine. And that position is, because the animal's becheskas iser while it's alive, and right now I don't know what changed that status because I didn't do a proper shechita, the animal remains a nevela. Okay, good. That position, I'd say, is a little bit easier to explain. What's the other position? The other position goes like this, says the Gemara. You have to look at the chazaka, and what does that chazaka translate into? The chazaka is that the animal's becheskas iser omedes, meaning the chazaka is on iser, a chazaka is not on tuma. Now, while the animal is alive, is the animal tame? Of course not. The animal's not tame while it's alive. It's only tame when it dies without the benefit of a shechita. So the chazaka is really only going on the iser, not on the tuma. So if the animal dies now with a questionable shechita, so the thing that is going to perpetuate is going to be the iser, not the tumma. Right. In other words, it could very well be that the shechita was a good shechita. Vis-a-vis tumma, we'll say that. Vis-a-vis iser, we're not going to say that. Okay. Certainly a harder position to hear and to digest, but the Gemara suggests that could be the machlokas. Okay, gufa. Okay, now. Amar Ravuna Bema Bechaya Becheskas Isser Omedes Ashiva Del Chabama Nishchata Nishchata Becheskas Heter Omedes Ashiva Del Chabama Nitrafa. Okay, so the Gemara just says over the statement of Ravuna again the two chazakas: chazaka of an animal being alive that it's a becheskas isser, and the chazaka of once I shecht it properly, the animal is not a treif until otherwise indicated. Now Velema, the Gemara says, now I don't understand. Why don't we say the following: Nishchata Hutra. So okay, good. So why don't we simply say that when you shecht it's now mutter. It's becheskas heter, it's in a state of heter. It's not in a state of heter, it is heter. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says no, if there is a reusa, if there is something which leads us to now worry and concern ourselves that something went wrong, so the Gemara goes on to give an example. So let's say you shechted the animal, good shechita. You did the shechita good, you checked the simanim, everything's good. And then, while you are now, after the animal is lying on the floor dead, so along comes a wolf, comes, takes, snatches the intestines and runs away. Now, we would not have checked those intestines, but right now, we can't even check the intestines, because the wolf came and take it away. So, mahu. So the Gemara says, natal halasnehu. So the Gemara says, I don't even understand why this is even, we're even entertaining this as a question. The wolf took the intestines. So, okay, good. Okay, no more intestines. Okay, right, we're not going to have kishka tonight for dinner. We never check them anyway. Like, what wrinkle are you introducing now by telling me that the wolf took away the intestines? So the Gemara says, Ela nakav b'nei mayim. So mahu. So nakav hakachazina duhu nakvinu. So the Gemara now suggests, well, maybe we're talking about where the wolf took a bite of the intestines right here and didn't take it away with him, but left the intestines right here, and now the intestines have a hole in it because the wolf took a bite out of the intestines. To which the Gemara says, again, what kind of question is that adding? It's not introducing a new wrinkle. Now we have intestines with a hole in it. I got news for you. We just all saw what happened. The wolf took a bite of the intestines, so I now no longer need to worry. Are these intestines, these holy intestines? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. These are, right? These. So in other words, so are the animals a trefa? No, it's not. I just saw the wolf bite into them. I know what happened. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, here's where the question gets, quote unquote, interesting. Because right now the questions have not been interesting. They've been pretty straightforward. Let's say the wolf takes the intestines, right, grabs them and carries them away. And then the wolf comes back with the intestines. And now, why didn't the wolf eat them? I don't know. But anyway, but now as they have returned, so now we find holes in the intestines. We did not see the wolf put the holes in the intestines, but we don't know. We don't know. So the Gemara says, "Micha shina shema b'makom nekev nakav olo." So do we say now that maybe as the wolf took his mouth and inserted into the intestines, maybe the holes already pre-existed? And so what the wolf was doing was just simply biting in a place where the holes already existed, meaning it could very well be that these holes actually are simane trefa. Mm-hmm. They are signs that the animals are trefa, and we don't empirically know one way or another. The Gemara says that could be. Amrlei ain't choshes Hashem abemakom nekav nakav, and the answer is pretty straightforward. That is such a far-fetched concern. This is not something that we're going to worry about. In other words, if the wolf took them and he comes back and now the intestines have holes in them, I think we can all guess correctly that the wolf is the one who made the holes in the intestines, and we're good. And we're good. And the animal's not a trefa. To which the Gemara says, that's so interesting because it makes esve. I'm going to challenge you based on the following. And now, in order to appreciate the Gemara's coming up, so here we're going to begin this morning with a basic discussion. We're going to comparison shop Isser and Sakana. In other words, these surim are what we're describing. An animal has to be shechted properly in order for us to eat it. And if it's not shechted properly, so it's Isser. And then there's issues of Sakana. In other words, taking a cup of venom and drinking it. Now, we're not going to do that. In other words, it's not going to go well. Right? It's right. I wouldn't recommend it. Right? We all value our lives. And that's what's called Sakana. Now, obviously, the example I gave was ridiculous, but let's say you have water that was left overnight exposed. The next morning, I come and I look at the water. I think it's okay, and I take a drink of it. So the Gemara throughout Shas says, don't you dare do that. In other words, the water snake contained in a cup is now open game for a snake to come in, insert a little bit of its venom. This is something that was common back in the time of the Gemara. And so therefore, if you were to drink that cup of water, you are taking your life in your own hands. That is risky behavior. And this is what's called sakana. And it's not just limited to water. If, let's say, you cut open a watermelon and leave the watermelon exposed, same concern. Let's say you have a fig, cut open the fig and leave it exposed, unattended, same concern. So this is something, it's hard to imagine life living like that. But this is something that concerned the Amoraim significantly. And what we're going to learn all together now in the upcoming Gemara is that when it comes to Sakana, we're just going to be more cautious than we are regarding Halacha. Now, it's obviously a delicate conversation because we like Halacha also. In other words, Halacha is really important. And we're going to be more machmir by Sakana than we are by Halacha? And the answer is yes. But the answer is because by Halacha there are rules and regulations in terms of how much concern do we need to be regarding Halacha. Built into the Halacha is the idea that Halacha has a limit in terms of how concerned we need to be. So therefore, when it comes to Halacha, yes, we're going to be lenient in certain regards because that's built into the Halacha. Mashenke, when it comes to Sakana, meaning how careful should we be with our lives? The answer is as careful as we possibly can. Even for something in Halacha, something that we wouldn't be concerned about, but when it comes to Sakana, we're going to be more concerned. That's the basic idea that's coming up in the second half of today's daf. Ron Sipor, Amenaka B'Teinu, V'Achma, Amenaka B'Ava Tichin. So let's say I see a bird now is pecking into a fig, or let's say I see a rodent that is pecking into a watermelon. Now, I would generally say that for your and I sensibilities of 2018, I don't think any of us would eat it. Okay, but so let's go back in time. Let's all return back to the good old days, where if you saw this, it's not a deal breaker. In other words, okay. So in other words, just wipe off the area and enjoy the rest of the fig and enjoy the rest of the watermelon. But however, what basically now has happened is that there's an exposed area of the fruit. And even though right now I see why it's exposed, because I see that it was either by a bird or by a rodent, things that are not venomous, but could it not be that maybe beforehand that hole already existed and a venomous creature inserted their venom into the fruit? Could it not be? And not only am I saying could it not be, but it's a real concern. And over there, we do in fact say that we are concerned that a venomous creature previously inserted his venom into the exposed portion of the fruit. And what we're watching right now is the second animal coming and enjoying the fruit. But the first animal was a venomous animal, and so therefore this is a concern. So remember now, in the case of the wolf, where the wolf took the intestines, brought them back, they have holes in them. So what do we all say? Everyone relax. The wolf was the one who was the first one to put the hole in the intestines. The animal's not a trefa. Masha'en came over here when we're talking about the sakana of venom. Here we're not relaxed. Here we are going to worry. And the distinction is really simple, by the way. I already gave away the answer. The distinction is, previously, we were talking about halacha. Here we're talking about sakana. And there's a difference. And the Gemara now is going to spell all this out. Amar le mika medam es yisur le sakanta. How can you compare the two? You're comparing yisur to sakana? Sakana shoni, sakana is different. Amar le rava maishna safek sakanta l'chumra, safek yisur nami l'chumra. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Really, you're making such a distinction? When we have suffix sakana, we're going to be machmir. But when if it's suffix yisur, we're also going to be machmir. Amar le abaye velo shani bein yisur le sakanta. Really? You don't think there's a distinction to be made? Let's take a look at some of the most basic halachas. Let's take a look at the halacha of safek tumah birshus rabim. We say throughout Shas that a safek tumah, that if I have questionable tumah that occurs in a public area, so we're going to be mekel. So this is safek tumah birshus rabim. And meanwhile, if the same doubt were to occur regarding sakana, possible venom injection into the fruit, we're going to be machmir. So the Gemara says, "Amar lehasa milchza gemirila misota masota brishos yachid aftuma brishos yachid." So the Gemara says, "Well, I wouldn't use that as a comparison, because even though yes, you're right, by suffik tuma brishos harabim we're going to be mekel, that is not a default setting. That's an exceptional halacha, because the halachas of tuma brishos harabim versus tuma brishos yachid are modeled after the sota. In the case of the sota, we are dealing with a woman who secluded herself with a man in a room. We do not know what happened in that room. But because it's a private area, we're going to be machmir. Such a woman now is prohibited to her husband. And, right, they didn't see the act. In other words, they just saw the seclusion. She's prohibited to her husband. This is now a sota. How could she become permitted to her husband once again? So they go to the Beis HaMikdash, she drinks from the Mei Sota, etc., etc. But in other words, but the reason why we're going to be mekel by suffik tuma brishos harabim is because it's exeris akosov. It's a special decree in that scenario. But generally speaking, though, there's really a difference between sakana and iser. By iser, we're going to be machmir. By sakana, we're going to be machmir. So meisiv Rav Shimon sheretz b'fi chulda v'chulda ma'alachas agabe kikara shel truma suffik nauga suffik nauga sveiko tahor. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's try the comparison in the following manner. I now have a sheretz, the carcass of a dead bug. There are only 8 shrutzim that give off tumah when they're dead. So obviously we're talking about one of the 8. And right now it's in the mouth of a rodent. And the rodent with the sheretz in its mouth, with the dead sheretz in his mouth, is now walking over loaves of bread. But not just any bread, but truma bread. Again, I know with our modern sensibilities, I think all of us will forego eating the bread. But again, let's go back in time. So now, this is not going to be a deal breaker for the bread. And now, what's the halacha? Well, what's the concern, I should say? First, let's go over the concern. The concern is that now this sheretz that's in the mouth of the chulda, we simply do not know at this point in time whether the sheretz made actual contact with the truma. We, of course, know. Truma has kedusha. If the truma comes into contact with the sheretz now, the truma is disqualified. It becomes tameh. Right, technically, in this particular scenario, if contact is made, the truma is a rishon l'tuma, but in any event, the truma now would become tameh. No kohen is allowed to eat the truma. We have now a problem. We don't know if contact was made, yes or no. All we saw is the rat walking over the loaves with the sheretz in his mouth, and we don't know if contact was made between the sheretz and the loaves. What's the halacha? Safik nagas, safik lo nagas, feiko tahor. So under those circumstances, the safik is going to be tahor. Now, v'ilu safik mayim megulim asurim. Now, in a parallel scenario of water and exposure to venom, we would be machmir if we had a parallel scenario as it relates to sakana. Mm-hmm. So once again, now we're putting along side by side together, iser and sakana. Now, by the way, it's interesting. I say iser, it's really tuma. Okay, but how about if I do it like this? Halacha and sakana. So I put them side by side together. We're clearly going to be more machmir by sakana than we are by iser. So again, I go back to the cases of the holes in the intestines and the hole in the fruit. So by the hole in the intestines, so we're going to be mako. That's iser. That's halacha. But when it comes to sakana, we're going to be machmir. The Gemara once again deflects. The Gemara says hasanami hilchza gemiri la misota. So the Gemara says once again, what I'll argue is the following: that is not the default setting. Meaning over there we're going to be makel because once again, it is exceptional. And the reason why it's exceptional is because, again, where do we learn out the halachas of Safek Tuma? We learn it out from Sota. So we already noted one exception, which is Rishus HaRabim. Meaning Sota is only in the Rishus HaYachid, not in the Rishus HaRabim. So that's why in the Rishus HaRabim we're going to be makel. Another notable exception is that what is a Sota? The Sota is a thinking being, otherwise known as a human being. So in other words, when the Safek is generated by people, so then we're going to be Machmir. But if the Safek is being generated by non-thinking entities, otherwise known as animals, so then we're going to be Makel. So over here what the Gemara is arguing is that this is not a good comparison study. Because you can't put side by side the halachas of a rodent to the halachas of sakana. The halacha of a rodent is a non-thinking entity. It's not a human. Does not have conscious thought. And so therefore, it does not conform to the halachas of sota. Ma sota davishesh bo dasli shal af hachanami davishesh bo dasli shal. So at this point in time, the Gemara is still now at an impasse. What we're trying to do is find parallel scenarios of sakana and that of iser, put them side by side, and see that we're in general going to be more machmer by iser. As we will conclude tomorrow, we'll stop here, but we're going to conclude tomorrow. It is a conclusion that we're more machmer as it relates to sakana as it is to iser. So fine. So as far as our case that we studied today, where the wolf puts his mouth into the fruit and takes a bite of the fruit. Sorry, the wolf takes a bite of the intestines. So are we worried that the animal may have been a trefoil already and there was a pre-existing hole? No, we're not going to worry. Masha Enke, when it comes to venom and the possibility of venom going into the fruit, so we are going to be concerned. Stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow.